right. Exodus chapter 29. Our subject is Christ, our consecration. And we begin here in verse 19. God is ceremonially hallowing Aaron and his sons to minister unto him in the priest's office. And he begins here in verse 19. He says, "Thou shalt take the other ram." Now you remember the bullock that was without spot. That bullock was a sin offering. And it pictured Christ, our sin offering. He bore the sin of his people. And then he was slain and put our sin away. Then the first ram without blemish was burnt offering. And that offering, as we saw, pictured how that Christ's perfect obedience to God as he bore the fire of God's wrath to satisfy justice, that perfect obedience came up to God a sweet-smelling savor. And that's our obedience to God, Christ's obedience. Now today, he says, verse 19, "And thou shalt take the other ram." This other ram is the ram of consecration. Consecration means to fill up. We're going to see here that their ears are filled up, their hands are filled up, their feet are filled up, and that's what consecration means, is to fill up. It's whereby we're sanctified and consecrated to God. It's also called a peace offering. We're not going to look completely at all of it today. We're just going to look here at the blood applied. But in that burnt offering, Christ gave God the Father a sweet-smelling savor of acceptance. In this ram of consecration, Christ gives his people the benefit of his blood. So Christ is the ram of consecration, and it's by his blood that we're sanctified, that we're consecrated, and we have peace with God. Now, first of all, God consecrates us through faith in his blood. We're consecrated by Christ through faith in his blood. We see here in verse 19, "Thou shalt take the other ram, and Aaron and his sons shall put their hands upon the head of the ram. Then thou shalt kill the ram." Now, three times they put their hands on the head of the sacrifice. And each time they did that, each time they put the hand on the head of the sacrifice, it typified whatever that sacrifice typified. When they put their hands on the head, their putting of their hands on the head of that ram typified whatever that sacrifice typified. For instance, the sin offering typified Christ putting our sin away. So the putting of their hands on the head of that ram pictured the sins of God's people being transferred to Christ. It's what that pictured. And then when that bullock was slain because Christ bore the sin of his people, that's that picture, Christ being slain, bearing our sin. Then the burnt offering typified Christ making our persons accepted by his obedience. And so we saw putting the hand on the head of the ram typified our persons being transferred. And I'm just using that because I don't know a better way to say it. It's Christ literally taking our place. It's Christ's obedience being the obedience God will accept. And so this ram of consecration now, when they put their hands on the head of the ram, this ram typifies our sanctification, our consecration, the application of that blood to us, and this is done through faith. And so they're putting their hands on the head of that ram typifies faith in Christ. Now, let's read it again, verse 19, "Thou shalt take the other ram, and Aaron and his son shall put their hands upon the head of the ram, then shalt thou kill the ram." Now God shall give each of his children who he elected, who Christ redeemed, he shall give each one faith in Christ. He's going to give each one faith in Christ. He's going to give it to us effectually so that we behold the efficacy of Christ's blood. Now, a sinner begins to hear the gospel and he begins to behold and hear about Christ and about what Christ has accomplished, about what Christ has done. And the Spirit of God causes him to behold that something was done for him personally. He begins to behold, see that blood was personally shed for him. He sees Christ personally dying for him. He sees that blood personally being shed for him. And as he beholds that and sees that, that by Christ's blood, his sin really has been put away, it purges his conscience. It purges our conscience so that we realize our sin's been, it's gone. Before God, before where it matters, our sin is put away. And as he beholds Christ and he beholds that burnt offering and that obedience of Christ by whom we're accepted and we come up a sweet savor unto God, he begins to realize that there's no more offering for sin. There's no more works for him to do to have acceptance with God. He's purged. His conscience is cleansed. And so he ceases from doing works trying to make himself righteous before God. And this is what Peter described this way. He described it as the believer purifying their heart by faith. And you know God does the purifying, but it's beholding the blood. It's beholding the blood, the Spirit of God making us behold the blood through faith, that our hearts are purified so that we stop trying to offer sacrifices to God and we behold Christ is all. Christ is all. That's what we have pictured here. You get the picture here. They put their hands on the head of the ram. A picture of a believer's been given faith and he begins to behold and hear the gospel. And when they put their hands on the head of that sacrifice, then that sacrifice was slain. And they beheld that sacrifice was slain for me. And they saw the blood spilled out and they began to see that blood was spilled out for me. This is what we have here. So I want you to understand this. If you've never believed on Christ, I want you to get this. Christ's blood was shed for a reason. God set him forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood. That's Christ is a mercy seat. He's a place where God will meet with his people in mercy. Through faith in what Christ has accomplished, through faith in Christ's blood. Christ is the ram of consecration. He's the ram whose blood sanctifies and purifies the heart. Scripture says, Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. He washes us with the word, and he's our sin offering. He makes us see he's our sin offering who put away our sin. He's our burnt offering who's our obedience. And he's our consecration who sanctifies us. So I say to you who believe and to you who haven't believed on him, behold the blood. Look to the blood. Look to the blood of Christ. When God sees the blood, he passes over his people. And when he makes us see the blood, our conscience is purged, and for the first time in our life, we can be honest with God. He's already dealt with us. We're not fooling God by trying to act like we're righteous and act like we're something we're not. He purges your conscience to realize that. He's already dealt with you over 2,000 years ago at the cross. He's just now letting you know about it. And he shows you that your sins are put away. When he does this, now you can worship God and serve God and serve his people because you really want to. You're not just putting on a show. Now you really want to. And this is through faith in his blood. Now, secondly, we see a little bit more of this. This is all because Christ's blood is applied, making our whole bodies to be separated and consecrated for God's use as God's priest. When this happens, the blood's applied, and so every part of our body is separated and sanctified for God's use. A sinner beholds he's not his own anymore. He beholds I'm God's. I'm God. This is, and that's what's pictured here. Look at verse 20. Then shalt thou kill the ram and take of his blood, and put it upon the tip of the right ear of Aaron and upon the tip of the right ear of his son. sons. Now, by the blood of Christ, God sanctifies our ear. He sanctifies our ear. He sanctifies us so we can hear to begin with. But then once he makes us to hear, he sanctifies our ear so that we delight in one message. We delight in the message of Christ and him crucified. We don't want to hear anymore a message that's blaspheming our Redeemer, that's making his blood common, that's saying he died for everybody, but he didn't accomplish anything. We don't want to hear that anymore. Why? God sanctified our ear. And we don't want to hear God's name taken in vain either, because God has sanctified our ear. Verse 20, and upon the thumb of their right hand, when the Spirit of God applies the blood of Christ, he separates our hand. First of all, spiritually, he separates our hand of faith to lay hold of Christ. But then once we've believed on Christ, he sanctifies our hands for his use, to be used for God. Physically, he separates us and uses our hands. He gives you gifts so that you can use your hands to do things for his cause, to spread the gospel, to help with the brethren. When we built or remodeled this building, and there was something, somebody knew how to do everything that needed to be done here. That was not by accident, and the willingness to want to do it wasn't by accident. That was by God sanctifying the hand and gifting his people to do those things and giving them the heart to want to do it. See, this thing's real. This sanctifying blood of Christ works in his people. It works in his people. He gives you the strength to do what he would have you to do. And then verse 20, he says, and upon the great toe of their right foot, he sanctifies our feet by the blood of Christ. Now our feet, before our feet were swift to shed innocent blood. We were sinners. We were running from one mischief to the next mischief. We were just looking to satisfy the lusts of our flesh. Now our feet are shod with the preparation of the gospel. So we run on God's errands of mercy, doing what God would have us to do. Now, most of you who are made priests unto God, you use these ears and hands and feet for secular employment. But here's the difference. You used to, before he applied this blood, you went to your jobs for you. Just you. Now, the preeminent cause that you go to your employment is so you can promote the gospel and so you can be ready to, as Brother Scott read, to communicate to the pastors that are preaching the gospel, to your brethren who need help. You have that with which to communicate. It's not for you anymore, it's for Christ. That's what this blood does. Now, notice, this is very important. The same blood that sanctifies us within sanctifies us before God. He says there in verse 20, and sprinkle the blood upon the altar round about. Sprinkle it upon the altar. This is God's part right here. This blood of Christ applied to you and I, his priest, is also offered to God. Now this is important. The blood upon the altar, being the same blood that's applied to the priests, same lamb, same ram, same blood applied to the altar, applied to the priest, that shows us that God's priests, you and I who are made priests unto God, we're sanctified personally and we're sanctified before God. Both. Before God and personally. And it's one way, one blood. The blood of Christ. Christ's sin atoning blood before God, that blood that justified us, that blood that made us righteous and obedient to God, is the blood that purges our conscience within. Now you can guess where I'm going to go. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. You know you can't go through Exodus and Leviticus without going through Hebrews 10. And when you know the first book I preached through was Hebrews, and when we preached through Hebrews, we wore out Exodus and Leviticus, going back to them. So with Exodus and Leviticus, we go to Hebrews. But look here, you can see it in Hebrews 9. He talks there about the verse 12. Verse 13, if the blood of bulls and goats, the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Then he says here, he shows us here in verse Hebrews 9, he says, without the shedding of blood is no remission. And he says, verse 24, Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. So you see, he entered in, Luke verse 25, not yet that he should offer himself often as the high priest entereth into the holy place to every year with the blood of others, for then must he have suffered since the foundation of the world, but now once in the end of the world hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And so here you have the blood purging the conscience, and you have the blood in God's presence. Look here in Hebrews 10. The law, having a shadow of good things to come, not the very image of the things, can never with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually make the comers thereunto perfect. That word's important, perfect. That means complete before God, before God's altar, perfect. Look now, for then would they not have ceased to be offered? Because that the worshipers once purged, once they beheld that before the altar, if that altar, that blood on that altar, really made them perfect with God, then it says they would have had no more conscience of sin. It would have purged their conscience. You get what I'm saying? That blood on the altar pictures Christ's blood in God's presence, and the blood applied pictures Christ's blood in our conscience. It's one blood. It does two works, two things in two different places. It expiates sin before God's altar, and it purges sin in our conscience. Now look here, verse 3. But in those sacrifices, there's a remembrance again made of sins every year. That's what they were for. We come here to hear about how our sins are put away, and our conscience is purged, and we don't have any remembrance of sin anymore. It's gone. They came to worship to remember they still had sin. For it's not possible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sins. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, when Christ came, he said, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin, that's what we're seeing in our text. He said, thou hast had no pleasure. You had no pleasure. They didn't satisfy God. That blood put on the altar didn't satisfy God. Then said I, lo, I come. In the volume of the book, in Exodus, that you're sitting there reading about right now and having preached to you, that's written of me, Christ said. Look here. Lo, I come to do thy will, O God. And so he says there, verse 9, he takes away that first covenant of law that he may establish the second covenant of grace. Now read verse 7 again. Take out the parentheses. Then said I, lo, I come to do thy will, O God, verse 10, by the which will we're sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Look down at verse 12. This man, after he'd offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. For by one offering he hath perfected, he made complete forever them that are sanctified, them that are consecrated, them in whom this blood's applied. Do you get what I'm saying there? He perfected us forever before God, in God's presence. That's the blood on the altar. And that blood is the same blood that purges our conscience. Look at the very next verse in Hebrews 10. He says, whereof the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us in our heart, purging our conscience. After that, he had said before, this is a covenant I'll make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I'll put my laws into their heart. You seeing what laws he puts in our heart? He puts the word of the sin offering and the word of the burnt offering and the word of the ram of consecration. He's putting all these laws into our heart, make us see this all pointed to Christ. It all spoke of Christ. And in their minds I'll write them, and their sins and iniquities I will remember no more, because the blood's been poured out at the altar. We're perfect before God. Now, where remission of these is, we don't offer anything for sin either, because the conscience has been purged. You see the twofold use of that blood? All right, now, go back to our text, Exodus 29. Now, I could have preached through the end of this chapter, and because it all goes together, but I wanted to keep it simple, and I just wanted to show you these three things. But now here's this third thing I want you to see. First of all, it's through faith. This thing's through faith. They put their hands on the head of the ram, then they saw that ram slain for them, they saw the blood spilled for them, and then it's that blood that makes us perfect before God, and it purges our conscience within. Now, the blood of Christ applied by the Holy Spirit is our holiness. This is holiness. This is the beauty that hallows us to God. Look here, verse 21. And thou shalt take of the blood that is upon the altar, there's that justifying blood before God, and of the anointing oil, there's the Holy Spirit of God. That's how this is applied when the Spirit of Christ enters in. And sprinkle it upon Aaron and his garments, and upon his sons, upon the garments of his sons with him. There it is. That same blood that was offered to God is applied by the Holy Spirit to us. It's put all over us. And here's what it accomplishes. And he shall be hallowed. He shall be holy. He shall be consecrated to God. And his garments and his sons' garments with him. Now you get the scene. I want you to get the scene here. Here these priests stand. And Moses takes this blood from the altar. And he comes to them and he takes the holy oil. And he covers them. I mean, he sprinkles them with this blood and this oil all over their garments, all over them. Think about how stained they were. Blood all over them, oil all over them. And here they are stained, their garments totally stained. And God says, and this is how you're snow white before me. This is how you're perfectly holy before me. Here it is, right? Listen to Revelation 7, verse 14. John saw those standing there that had their garments white, what garments on, and he didn't know who they were, and the angel said to me, these are they which came out of great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. You ever think about that? They made their robes white, holy, perfect before God. How? By being completely stained in the blood of the Lamb. That's the picture we have there. Here's what it means. Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power in the beauties of holiness. Naturally, I would stand there and look at them, spotted in blood, spotted in oil, and they would say, man, they just ruined those beautiful garments. They just stained completely. But anybody that's got spiritual eyes looks at that and sees, oh, that's beautiful. That's holiness. That's the beauty of holiness right there. That's how we're made holy before God. Now, lastly, I want you to hear how the New Testament speaks of this. I want this to be plain. I want you to see how the New Testament speaks. Turn to Galatians with me. Galatians chapter 2. Aaron and his sons. Now, here they stand. They're marked with symbols of death and symbols of life. Think about that. Now, they're standing there. They have blood all over them. That's the symbol of death. They've died. They died in that lamb. And they stand there in oil. The Spirit of God, the life of God. So they're standing there in these symbols that picture life and they picture death. So they typically, ceremonially, they died and yet they live. And here it is, right here, Galatians 2:20. Paul says, I'm crucified with Christ. I am crucified with Christ. I'm dead. You see that verse 19 tells you what it means. I, through the law, am dead to the law. I'm dead. I am crucified with Christ. Verse 20, nevertheless, I live. Yet not I. I didn't do this. My flesh had nothing to do with this. How is it you live? Christ liveth in me. There's the oil. The blood, I'm crucified with Christ. Here's the oil. Christ liveth in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. I live, yes, by faith in Him, but I live by His faithfulness, moving me, directing me, keeping me cleansed, keeping me purged, keeping me looking to Him, keeping me strengthened by His grace. Him who loved me and gave Himself for me. He gave Himself for me. We've died with Christ, but we arose with Christ. And therefore, by the Spirit of Christ within us, we're made new creatures. God has made us put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. We've been made partakers of Christ's resurrection, of His life, and now we go forth doing His will by His strength. That's what we have. That's how you made a priest unto God and the result of being made a priest. Turn with me to Romans chapter 12. So now, when this work's done, listen to me. Here's your new heart. This is your new desire. Now, we don't always succeed in this, because here's the thing about our consecration. Before God, it's perfect. We're perfectly holy before God. But because we have a sin nature with us, our consecration is not perfect in us. We mess up. But here's our desire. And this is going to be the tenor of our walk. And this is our chief preeminent desire. That whether we eat or drink, whatever we do, in our new heart, our desire is to do all to the glory of God. Is to follow our Master fully. Is to serve Him wholly. We have a new outlook. Our bodies are not our own. They've been totally washed in the blood. And Christ abides in us now. And so this is what will make you, when you become hard-hearted and your sin's dominating you and your sin nature's dominating you, how's Christ going to make your brethren bear that burden that you're going through? How's He going to make them not break out the whip of the law on you? How's He going to make them pray for you and point you to Christ and wait on God to work in you? How are they going to be made to do that? They're going to be consecrated by this blood and cleansed by this blood. And so their conscience is purged within so that they see it's all by the blood. And how are you going to be turned from that hard-heartedness so that you'll begin to show mercy and be gracious and be forgiving? God's going to have to purge your conscience and make you see this blood and purge your conscience. You see, we're made holy. That's done. And it's a continual process of God continually keeping us, our conscience purged, and continually keeping us looking to Christ only, because we defile ourselves with our flesh every day. And so He continually keeps us looking to Him. And so here's our new desire, Romans 12, verse 1. Paul said, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. We could say by these mercies of God we've been looking at this morning. By these very mercies we've been looking at. That you present your bodies. There He is, aren't they? He covered the whole body. There He is. That you present your bodies a living sacrifice. We're alive now. We're dead before the law, but we're alive to God. A living sacrifice. Holy. Made holy by Christ. Consecrated by Christ. acceptable unto God by Christ our burnt offering. He's made us accepted, which is reasonable service, isn't it? He did it all. He did everything. It's not like he's asking us to, when he says for you to bear your brother's burden, it's not like he's asking us to be crucified for him. He already did that. He's saying to you and me, just put up with him. Till I come and work grace in him, just put up with him. That's like needs a yoke, isn't it? That's reasonable, isn't it? I pray God will bless that, brethren. I wanted to keep it simple, and I hope it was. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our gracious Father, we thank you that you give your simple children simple pictures. Help us to understand these profound works that you do in your people. Lord, thank you for making us behold Christ and behold the blood and making us know that everything is accomplished through your darling Son. Lord, make us to see that these things that we get so carried away with in this life are just not important. Make us lay aside our differences. Make us lay aside the things that divide us and the things wherewith we get carried away in this world and running after. Lord, take this blood of Christ and make us purge our conscience and make us wholly consecrated to you, wholly devoted to you. Make us see, Lord, that when we think we're separated and we think we're holy and yet we're looking down on somebody who's outwardly not walking as we think they ought to walk, we need to be consecrated in our own heart. And Lord, consecrated, make us not look down on our brethren and make us look up to Christ. If we're looking up to Christ, we can't look down on our brethren. And Lord, keep us looking to him. Keep us looking to him and away from our flesh and away from our brethren's flesh. Lord, this is where we utterly depend on you to sanctify us, to separate us from ourselves, separate us from our flesh, separate us from this world. Keep us in Christ. And Lord, by this work, we thank you that you make worship a delight. Now we can worship you. Now we can serve you. Now we have a heart where we want to do it. We thank you for that. We thank you for that. You've taken religion and made it cease being a chore to us and a burden to us and made it a delight to us. Lord, bless us now with these words and bless us with this blood. We ask it in the name of our most holy, glorious, perfect Redeemer, Christ Jesus, your Son. Amen.
Me.